Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminist. It's Deborah. The Guilty Feminist is live at King's Place in London on the 31st of January and at Vicar Street in Dublin, my favourite venue. Come along, Alison Spittle and I will be back on the 14th of March. And if you've got tickets for Campus Christmas, please put the 31st of March into your calendars. That show has had to be put off because, unsurprisingly, the pandemic has crashed its way into our Christmas again. Our UK tour starts on the 5th of March. We are going all over the UK. We are sure to be coming somewhere near you. We're also going all over Australia and New Zealand in July. So check out the links in the show notes or go to guiltyfeminist.com to find out where we are coming near you and when, and get tickets for yourself and other loved ones, feminists in your life. I'm so excited to be able to be back out on tour, coming to you, being near you. We will make sure all the shows are COVID safe, depending on where we are with restrictions. And we really can't wait to be back in the room with you celebrating feminism, comedy, and all things Guilty Feminist. And now on with the podcast. I am a feminist, but tonight when I walked into the dressing room, wearing what can only be described as a dinner jacket or tuxedo with a black tie, somebody went, "Oh my God, Deborah Frances White for James Bond." And I immediately thought, my God, that script would have to be incredibly fucking misogynistic for me to turn it down. I would be looking to justify my way through that shit. If I was the first female James Bond, and I would insist on being first female lesbian James Bond... Yeah, I would. I'm bisexual, it's okay.
Wait, no, be bi Bond.
Yes.
Bi Bond.
Oh, bi Bond, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Shaken Amstow, do you feel me? Yes.
Okay, bi Bond.
Yes.
This is just a pitch. If you're listening, the Broccolis, I'm going to send you a picture of myself in this dinner jacket, and then you can decide on your own time. But, just think about it. Hot lady bi Bond.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
I'm just saying. Now, I of course we would want that script to be as feminist as possible, but it is James Bond.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
And I would insist on being called James as well. None of this Jane Bond. Fuck that. I'm James.
Yeah.
The name's Bond. James Bond. James bi Bond.
James bi Bond, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, dear. So, I'm a feminist, but... I'm moving house this week, and when my, 64-year-old moving guy who, like, nobody told him to have a moving business, okay? But when he obviously could have used my help, I pretended to be too weak. I was like, oh no, I was like, so much to do with the move. I was like, oh, I gotta touch this, lift this light one. I was like, I'm just so, you quit the industry or pick up the damn box.
Wow. Quit the industry or pick up the damn box. I'm telling you.
I don't know what to say. Look, man, you had an hourly rate. I was like, this is hardcore. You got to do the work, sir. He's a white man as well. I was like, no, you're going to do that work.
You are about to go back.
Mic drop. Mic drop.
You are about to go back to America. So we have got, this is Kima's very last gig of any sort in this country. Yeah. Until she goes back to America. But you're coming back.
Don't say all, because I feel much more sad than you do.
Yeah, you've got to go back to Texas, where currently they are daily eroding your rights. They've been busy eroding your rights since you've been gone.
I better not get sick, because I'm uninsured, and I better not get pregnant, because I'll have that baby. Fuck.
Are you uninsured over there?
Yeah. Oh, so. Shit. Basically,
can
if
you not
over,
get a temporary insurance?
I don't know what that means. It probably is, sounds very expensive, David. So basically, if you're under 26 and your parents have a job where they have insurance to do their job, then you can be on that. But then when you're over 26, you better have a job where you can have insurance to your job. But I'm a comedian. Oh, and so I'm just glad to be living here. Thank you. if UK visas and immigrations, if you're listening, I love you so much. Love you. I love you.
Can I? There's no like temporary. If you're going back to America for 2 weeks, there must be a little temporary. I'm going to look into it for you.
Okay.
Could somebody Google?
She didn't say she was going to pay for it, so I don't know. Well, so I'm in
an
you've
been doing so much TV. You must be able to afford 6 weeks of insurance. Now, come on here.
6 weeks? Do you know what America is?
We'll pass the hat around.
Traveling insurance.
Does travel insurance work if you are American in America? I guess so. Oh, are you in insurance? When you go back there, that's what
brilliant.
You do. Okay.
Oh my God. What? And then be like, I'm traveling. So she's saying you could get it for a year and then you can renew it for another year and then you can just be a perpetually wink wink traveling.
Well, you sort of always are, because when you're here, you're traveling because you're American. When you're there, you're traveling because you live in Britain.
I'm a Rolling Stone.
Can anyone Google Rolling Stone traveling insurance? see if we can get Kima a policy.
For stones on the road.
I'm a feminist, but I'm incredibly fucking jealous of Pete Davidson.
Oh,
how the fuck does Pete Davidson get the women
King
he gets?
King of New York.
How? Have you seen Pete Davidson? He is the most dysfunctional man. He is not handsome. What?
Just
what?
A little bit.
Just to name, I'm just going to name off some names of women. Not just that it's rumored that he was with. He's walking down the street. There's pap shots of him holding hands and making out with them. Ariana Grande. Kate Beckinsale. Now, people are not reacting hard enough. Do you know what I mean? The guy from Saturday Night Live.
Vampire. Who,
yeah. Honestly, what is he bringing to the party? Margaret
He's
Qualley.
The party. Margaret who?
Qualley. Andy McDowell's daughter, unbelievably beautiful actress. Just brilliantly talented, but like literally the most beautiful woman in the world or top 10. You know, like she's amazing. And now, Kim fucking Kardashian. What? What is his? Is his dick a magic wand? The fuck? What? The actual fuck? The only reason he hasn't had Beyonce is he hasn't asked.
They haven't been in the same room at the same time.
I can only assume he doesn't want to have sex with Her Majesty the Queen.
Or because it would have been
done. Yeah, oh yeah, she'd be down on Brighton Beach having fish and chips with him.
I wish I could say that I don't see it. I wish I could say that.
Kima Bob, you're going to get famous very soon.
Look.
And if you First go out all, with fucking Pete Davidson,
no, I'm not.
Don't you dare.
Look.
You always say you'll go out with anyone but white men because you believe oppression builds character.
Look, here's the thing. It does. But here's the thing, okay? I wish I could say that I've never seen it, but I feel like sometimes if your life is going well, sometimes you just need to throw a little dirty dick into the mix. Just, you're like, my life is, you're like, I'm on my shit, I'm responsible. You're like, I'm weighed down with this responsibility. Let's just throw in a little chaotic dick.
You don't have medical insurance. You're fine. You need to fuck Pete Davidson.
I'm gonna say how it would happen. I feel like...
You better get medical insurance before you fuck that dirty dick. That's all I'm saying. You're going to earn that. I want to see full paperwork. I want to see your taxes done 2 years in advance. And then you can start fucking Pete Davidson.
I can see how it happens. I don't know. It's fascinating.
You are so going to fuck that Davidson boy.
I'm not going to do it. I might do it. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
But do you think he'd even bother, like, in bed? Like, he looks so lazy. He looks like he's just like, He just lie there and let you do it.
You never know. He could be one of those people that gets just like, he's like, hey, let me tell you something. Sorry, this is just, I'm so vulnerable. It's hard for me to say.
Oh,
sorry.
God. Yeah, he would.
Sorry, been through a lot, really tired from comedy. Sorry, I just like love eating pussy. Like, I don't know.
He is a white man who does comedy raps.
You never know. I don't know. It's interesting.
Listen, you know what? If you sleep with Pete Davidson, don't tell me. I don't want to see it in the tabloids. You better do that underground.
Just a secret.
Yeah.
That's how you got to do it. Oh, wow, is that how it made you feel?
No, it's allergies. I'm a little bit allergic to my cats.
Oh, love. The things we do for love. I'm a feminist, but recently I boned... I didn't tell you about this.
You know there's an audience here, right?
Yeah. Look, recently I boned...
Yeah. Who? Who did you
know? I know! It was a really, like, tall, like, super muscly dude. And it was, like, just insane body, a personal trainer. What do you do? Just work out all day? Insane. And I don't even know. Like, I'm a feminist, but recently I boned a very big, muscular man. And I just... Like, the sex was so bad, but the whole time I just felt like a little lady. Like, I was just like, I was like, I'm so femme. I was like, me, petite, I was like, your body's so big and I'm so small.
I really relate to that.
It was insane. I was like, I need to psychoanalyze this. But like, it was horrible. Oh my God, this was the worst head of my life. It was so bad. It was the most apathetic head I've ever received.
And you haven't even done Pete Davidson yet.
No! Oh my God, it was so bad. And I know what it's like to give head with enthusiasm. That's how I know I wasn't receiving it. Like, you know, it was horrible. Oh my God.
I'm a feminist, but do you have this man's number?
Yeah.
Would he relatively make me feel small, do you think?
I think so.
Because I think, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Yeah, I'm 5'9½".
He wasn't more big than us.
But
I don't know what it is.
I feel like I'm very broad.
Just a little, I don't know what it is. It's very like, just like, not even primal, but just like primitive. Like I was like, this is real. I was like, this is very sad of me.
Yeah, it's
I was like,
brain.
This is very sad of me. But also, ooh.
I hear that. I'm a feminist, but today there were workmen doing some work on our flat and I heard them come in and he said, well, he's on the phone. The guy's on the phone. Mm. And then he came in to the bedroom where I was and I was in bed. Like, and I had done a show last night, so don't judge me because you don't get up 8 hours before you go to work either. So I was still in bed like at 11 o'clock and I had like a robe on and he came in and he said, would it be all right if we brought something in off the terrace and put it inside so we can do the work? And I said, oh, yes, sure. And then he went back out and he said,
I asked his wife. She said it was okay. And I felt so Betty Draper. And I just had this moment of going, oh my God, I'm a wife. And it was like this, to someone, I'm a wife. Like that's, because they're trying to, they're like, well, the wife won't know. Like the man would know, because they're in a different bubble from me. So
I was cool with it.
But it's like, oh well, God. I don't know. The captain's not available. Yeah. I guess we'll ask the
I'll
little
ask
lady.
The wife, yeah.
It's just such a strange moment for me because I heard them talking about me. And I thought, well, of course I'm the wife. I'm in bed. He's on a conference call. I'm in bed in a floral robe.
Yeah, yeah.
Eating tea, having tea and toast at 11 on a fucking silver tray. There was no silver tray, but he saw one. That's the story as he'll tell it. I'm there like, you know, like, oh, I actually did have to cover my breasts a bit. Like my breasts were exposed when he walked into the room and I had to go like that. And it felt like such a Betty Draper move. And like, I was just like, I don't quite know how I feel about this, but there's something about it that's kind of stimulating. And so I did wear a floral dress today, is all I'm saying, which I would not normally do. But I just thought, sometimes it's nice to be a character. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to live like that. But I just, like, you know when you dress up like in this little 60s, like, I don't know, you wear like a mini skirt and tights and boots and you think, I'm going to be like a 60s Carnaby Street model. I'm going to wear like a little hat and, you know, no one else is seeing that when they see me. I know that they're not seeing that, but I feel like Twiggy.
I'm going to wear a little hat.
I'm going to wear a little hat. I'm just going to, like, sell it. I just sometimes am a character, and sometimes my characters are not the most feminist characters, but it's a play space. Stop judging me. That's my kink.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's touching. I am a feminist, but I am so tired of supermodels being on the streets with me. I'm just trying to live my life.
Well, stop hanging out with Pete Davidson then, because that's what he's surrounded by.
I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know. I don't know how to explain it. But I'm just like, why are you so gorgeous all the time?
Where do you see supermodels all the time?
Just about.
Do you mean women who you perceive to be of supermodel
yes, and it's upset, and that's a me problem. It's not a them problem. It's a me problem. I don't know. Okay, so I was with my friend at a bar, and we sat there, and my friend is a queer woman, and goes, do you see that beauty queen over there? And I knew exactly who she was talking about. She was talking about the tall, skinny girl with the long, curly hair. And I was like, why is that what this person is called? Why are you not calling me that? And why is she outside?
I once sat next to Lick Hole in a club.
Lick Hole?
No, Lily Cole. But now that's how she'll be known, as Licky Hole. Lily Cole, the
Thank
model.
You.
And I sat next to her, and it was like a nightclub. And
oh,
I think it was a Chanel party, but we crashed it. That's what happened.
Oh.
But she sat next to me, and I looked at her, and she's Lily Cole. So do you know what she looks like? She's like a foal, Lily Foal. Like, but, you know, like just limbs. And I just looked at her, and I was like, she's like super beautiful. And I just was like, I am not intimidated by you at all because you look like someone out of Lord of the Rings. You're another species. There's just a sort of elegant drapage of limbs. And those women as well, by the way, they do not wear clothes. They wear little bits of silk that always look like they're going to fall off.
But here's the thing. We have to, in our brains, be like, we're all the same and we're all very valuable, right? Like, that's what we're supposed to do. That's the thing. That's the, like, hey, we're all great. We're all valuable. We're all beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you sit at a bar and you're like, we're all great, we're all valuable, we're all beautiful. And your own friend goes, do you see that beauty queen over there? And it's not fucking talking about me.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I really do believe in diversity of beauty for others. I myself, I want to look like I could be on a fucking bus stop. And I know that's ridiculous. And I've come a long way in my journey. I'm not that bad anymore. But there's a little piece of me every now and again that just comes alive in those situations. I think you're seen as one of the most attractive women in London, though, Kima.
First of all...
Yeah, you think you are.
This isn't about you wanting to fuck me, Deborah.
Hold on.
Oh, she does.
This is not some kind of public Me Too situation. Where I'm hitting on you at work.
No, but I appreciate what you're saying, but you're like my friend, you have to say that.
No, but
we're not supposed to feel this way, and I'm very upset that I do, if that makes sense. So I'm a feminist, but I am upset with how much I am uncomfortable
with models.
People being outrageously gorgeous, yeah, and how I see myself in comparison to that.
But can I just say, lately, when you've been doing the glow-ups for TV, you are in a fucking league of your own.
Oh, I fucking let them go at it. Like, so you go to the TV, and then they go in the makeup chair, and they go, what do you like? And I go, bitch, what can you do?
She does. I've seen her say those exact words.
I was like, just go hard.
I've literally seen her. I've been in the makeup chair next to her, and I've seen her say that.
I was like, bitch, like, just go. I'm like, eyes, lips, what's up?
Yeah. And she comes out with these like big geometric eyes and, you know, beautiful red lips and shiny. And
because she lets them do whatever they want, they spend
all day on her.
Have a good time.
And I just go, oh, something a little subtle, maybe a little light smoky eye. And they're like, bup, 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 bup. No.
You're fucking up. They're getting paid. If you can pay people, let them do the work.
Yeah. She's, while she's ordering men to carry boxes, she's telling these women.
First of all, and that man, he asked me when he was sending me my invoice, he goes, who's going to pay for it? Can you get some money from daddy?
Yeah.
Can I get some money from daddy? Yeah, I'm glad I made him lift that shit.
Yeah, that's not cool. That really isn't cool.
You can't get some money
from daddy. No.
Daddy.
I mean, can you though?
No.
Oh, it's just annoying.
No.
He won't give you any. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Kima Bob, and our very special guest, Celia A.B., talking about therapeutic measures. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and our hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine
them. Who's she talking to?
I can't believe you stepped on undermine them. That's people's favourite part. That's the chorus. I'm going to say that again. And insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deb Frances White. With me is Kima Bob. And we are talking about therapeutic measures.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that in a little bit when we have brought our brilliant guest on. Were you trying to do a COVID kiss there where you sort of keep your head away from each other? It looked like a piece of modern dance.
It's just like you put in, you can touch bodies, but you got to keep your head away.
I do that now.
Away.
I do that.
I do that.
But you did it so extremely, it looked like a bit of that bit in Dirty Dancing where he goes like that.
When they were in the underground club and they were like, oh, do the watermelon. I don't know.
It's been a while since you've seen it. She carried a watermelon.
Okay.
They don't do the watermelon, although. What's that song?
I just remember there was a watermelon, and that's when the dancing was the dirtiest, and they're like,
That's right.
And everyone was doing, crotch touches, and they're like, oh, and I was like, this dancing is dirty for real.
Yes, but that crotch grinding is probably quite safe. It's not safe during COVID, obviously, don't take that away from the but it's safer than the sort of cheek to cheek, isn't it? Because they're like, you know, just stay just a little bit longer. Just a little bit. I don't know all of the words, it's true.
It feels like you do. That's.
I know a lot of the words of Dirty Dancing. If I had to, if you put a gun to my head and said, and please don't, but if you did and said, recite one movie from beginning to end.
You could do that one.
Yeah, take the gun out, it's too violent. No need for that. If you said, I'll give you £1 million for the feminist charity of your choice.
What?
Because we understand the non-capitalist space that we're playing.
Yeah, you're trying to save other lives. This isn't about you.
That's right.
Better get those words right.
That's right. Gracious. That's okay. If you said, I'll give you £1 million, but you've got to recite a movie beginning to end and not miss any lines of dialogue, my best chance would definitely be Dirty Dancing.
I don't know if I could, because I stopped smoking weed not long ago. You know this, but... Yeah. I've smoked a lot of weed for a long time. I don't remember much of what I watched over the past like 10 years. I have no idea what's in those films.
That sounds like that sentence is going to end with Your Honor.
I have no idea what's in those films, Your Honor. Yeah. I might be in those films.
It sounds a lot like that. Let's just see. We think we've got people on here. Trisha JB says, hi from Danbury, Connecticut. Yeah. Do you know?
I learned how to spell it because it's like connect, I cut.
Did you have to do the spelling bees that we see in America so much?
I don't think I ever did a spelling bee, but I did go to this school that was like obsessed with Africa. Love it. And one of my teachers, in order to go into the classroom, there was a week where she made us name a different country in Africa. And if you didn't, like, so there are, like, 54.
Yeah.
And it was 5 days, so she split them up. And she was like, you got to name 10 countries or you can't come in the room. And that was a lot of people were late for class. People don't know enough. People don't know enough.
But
so
then what
no
happens?
Spelling bees, just like Africa bees.
But here's the problem with that. If you say to the children who cannot name the countries, you are not allowed to enter the classroom. You've sort of got that the wrong way round. It's the ones that can name all the countries in Africa and divide them by nine.
Yeah, to teach the rest of them.
Yeah, they can stay in the hallway. They know.
Yeah, those other kids, you got to get them in.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's very challenging.
It's like our whole process. Laura from Leeds, hello.
Well, hold on. I think you just blew my lid right now. Is that what school is supposed to be like?
Yes. School is about... For me,
you learn that you don't show up knowing you learn there.
Yes, for me, education is about finding things people can't do and showing them how to do them.
Whoa.
The problem with school is they treat you as if you should already be able to do this.
You should know it already even get in the room.
That's how they act. Whoa. Teachers are like cross if you don't know things. I'm like, if I know everything, you've got no job,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, you don't have a job. That's pretty deep.
I'm sure there are many brilliant teachers listening who are. Who are saying, no, these children are numpties and they need to learn. Just give us a cheer if you're a teacher. Hey, hello.
Yeah.
Any insights for us there? What was that? Huh?
Little just pricks, what?
Did you say little pricks?
You said
didn't say little pricks.
Little pricks?
You said they're thick.
And not wow. In the sexy way with multiple C's. Okay. Better not be, yeah. Your Honor. I was not looking at those children's hips, Your Honor. I see.
I think she meant thick with a K, but I also feel that's not inclusive language. Laura from Leeds says, recently started listening to the podcast and I am now 90% more feminist.
Whoa.
She's taken our quiz. We should do a BuzzFeed. We should do a BuzzFeed guilty feminist quiz. Because I think I would come up different things on different days. Some days more guilty, some days more feminist. Even minutes in the days.
Life is hard. My medical nightmare was I felt like a mass in my tit. Yeah, keeping it chill, mass in my tit. And I was like, I was like, oh, I'm going to check that out. It's important. You got to check out masses in the tits. People, you check your tits, check your balls. Everybody check everything. You got to check the lumps. Lumps. No, people don't like lumps. Unless you're Fergie. And the song, My Humps, she loves a lovely lady lump. Check it out.
That's right. That's right.
So, but if you find a lady lump, check it out. And so I went to go check
this
it out.
This is a great public information.
I think so.
Episode.
It feels very PSA.
Yeah.
And so I went to go to the doctor. I was like, oh, a little lump, what's going on? And they're like, we could do an ultrasound and that you'll have to come back in several weeks to follow up and then we'll know. Or we could do a biopsy and you'll know today. And there was a lot of enthusiasm of, and you'll know today, and like that thing. And I was like, oh my God, fast results. That sounds like the best option. Why wouldn't I obviously go for that? So I did. They stuck the thick needle into the side of my tit, sucked out a little bit of my lump. They were like, this is fine. Don't worry about it. But congratulations. Benign mass please give us $1,400 for this information. And I was like, girl, nobody was talking to me about prices when everybody was trying to touch my titties. What's going on? Nobody was talking about it. It's crazy out there. Don't have problems in America.
Now, that is great advice. Don't have problems
Don't
in
have
America.
Don't have problems. Have problems somewhere.
I know,
else.
But we had the NHS on here last week, and they were telling us, NHS campaigners...
Don't have problems here either?
They were saying quite soon, don't have problems here either.
Oh, no!
No, there's a big campaign about it because they are selling it off. But that's not what we're talking about today. Please check that episode out if you haven't, and check out the campaign that Jen Brister and Francesca Martinez is doing. Would you like to hear some stand-up comedy? Yeah. Then please welcome to the stage the incredible Kim Obob!
Yeah. Incredible is a strong word. Hi, guys. Great to be here with you. Staying warm. Got those scarves on. Yes, love a scarf. We're meant to be talking about therapy today, therapeutic measures, and I love therapy. It's my shit. Sometimes I get so addicted to self-help that I stress myself out. Like, I'm just like, you can be better than this. You read the book. You know what to do. it's so mad. My top therapeutic measure tip is definitely don't get COVID, especially if you live alone, because COVID isolation is not a fucking joke. And I thought that I would need to be worried about, I don't know, the loss of smell and taste that I did experience, or like a cough or the fever or something. But turns out what I needed to be afraid of was being trapped in my house with my own thoughts. Oh, it's so bad. I see some nods of recognition. Yeah. It's not a good time. It's absolutely insane. Let's just say that I left my 10, 11 days of isolation not being able to smell things, being able to taste things a little bit, and needing to go to therapy twice a week. I was like, hey, we got a lot to discuss. I was in the stillness. A lot of things rose to the surface. It's a mess. We got to dig through it. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're a very well-adjusted, healthy person with a nice sense of self and a sense of like mental stability, go ahead, catch the vid, baby. Have a great time. But if you can't go more than 2 weeks without someone clapping for you in an audience, then don't put a mask on. Save yourself, protect yourself. Whoa. Oh, it's absolutely insane. Oh, this world. Oh, this life. I appreciate therapy a bunch. I am grateful for it. I'm shout out the NHS for like providing it for people. I love that. Oh God, you have no idea. Oh, it's so good. And I think a lot of people are afraid of therapy, therapists. Once you get over the financial barrier, which is very real. Or once you get off the wait list, which is very real. One of my friends just got told that she needed a specialist, and she'll be like, so I'll be in therapy sometime in the middle of next year or the one after that. Like, once you get off the wait list and once you get past the financial barriers, there's also the factor of, like, judgment. And, like, a judgmental therapist is like a judgmental gynecologist. Like, you don't want to tell him the truth. You're like, I have no idea how that happened. No. No risky behaviors. No, nothing like that at all. I find myself sometimes offering, like, what feels like little nuggets of wisdom to, like, Uber drivers these days. Have you ever had conversations with them where, like, they, like, open up a bit and then they're like, yeah, but I just feel like, why should I be at home relaxing? I need to be working all the time. And I'm like, hey, man, I understand, but sometimes we gotta enjoy life. And I'm like, whoa, like, I feel like this is an even exchange here. Like, I was like, hey, wow, oh, sounds like a lot of stress, but your daughter does sound like she's growing up to be very opinionated, but that's a great thing. Like, don't worry about that. And it sounds like you're an awesome dad. Don't worry about the fact that you work so much. Am I a therapist? No. No, I'm not, but I will be for 20 minutes in your back seat. So good. But yeah, I mentioned that I've stopped smoking weed, which, like, hey, everybody's doing the weed now. People love it. Oh, everybody's like, oh, I'm vaping. Oh, I'm doing CBD. Oh, yeah, congratulations, okay? Yeah, have fun, you new age weed people. I'm a OG weed person, okay? I'm a veteran, all right? I was smoking before it was socially acceptable, okay? How about that? Yeah, what, are your parents concerned about you? You don't know that life. It's such a nice, like, headspace to be in, to not feel like I just don't want to be controlled by things. Like, I want to be in control of my headspace and my life. And literally, what's so weird about not smoking weed before I go to bed is I have dreams now. And I don't mean, like, aspirations. Or like Martin Luther King once, like, I have fucking night visions, man. My brain is like thinking about shit while I'm asleep, and it's crazy because a lot of what I thought was classified as nightmares are what my dreams are. They're horrible. It is fucking scary in there, man. It's always like a life or death experience. I'm always like running for my life or some shit. Or like back in my high school where my cheer coach is like, Bob, why can't you do the middle splits? I'm like, I don't know, coach. Like, it's a bit fucked up. I might go back to smoking weed. It's so bad. Oh no! But I do. I want to be in control of my headspace, and I think that for me is what any kind of like therapeutic measures or self help I do is about. Like, I would just like to understand myself better, to be in a better place of self acceptance, so that I can put good things out into the world. Since I've chosen a career path where I'm just constantly vomiting things out into the world, you see me vomiting. And one of the things I decided to do was face my fear of spiders. I wanted to try to change my relationship with them because they don't deserve how we treat them, okay? They don't deserve all the propaganda, all right? Like fucking, like everyone's like, ooh, Halloween, spider, spooky. No, this is just when they mate, okay? They like the weather. And stuff, and when they come into your houses, because they like the humidity, and they want to spend some time with you or whatever, they're just trying to eat, have a good time, they're just fucking right now, they're not spooky, they're fucking, it's different, spiders don't deserve that from us, and they're so small, and I'm just tired of being so afraid of things that are so much smaller than me, you know, and I feel like everything on this earth, like, has a purpose, you know, like, fucking flies digest the things or whatever, and like, you know, they break things down, and spiders eat them, and birds eat that, and birds shit seeds, and everything has a purpose. So like, let me not be so disrespectful to these spiders. And I'm big. I'm like, oh, you know, several, like 1,000 times more big, like, you know, and they're more afraid of me than I am of them. Type thing, you know? So I decided to face my fear first with a spider that was outside of my window named Clarence. And Clarence was real big. Clarence was huge, but Clarence was outside, so it was chill. And Clarence would just lay on the web and just kind of like stretch out his little legs like, nah, nah, nah. And I was like, Clarence, I hope you catch some food. Have a good day. And so I started off chill on the other side of some glass. And it was all good until one night when I was getting ready to go to bed, fucking weed free, just raw dog in life. I was getting ready to go to bed and I saw a spider on my wall that was like this big in my house, not on the other side of the glass. And I said, Clarence? Is that you? Was that too friendly? Are you inside now? Oh, you got too comfortable. Now you're in the house. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do catch and release because I respect your life. I respect your life. I don't want to kill you. I don't want you to die. I want you to keep living, keep doing your thing. Just not right here, but I want you to keep doing your thing. So I'm going to try to catch you. I'm going to release you. That's what we're going to do today. So I, of course, put on a robe to protect all of my skins, and I put gloves over my robe and covered all the space so that there's no way, because you never know, maybe they're crawlers, maybe they're jumpers. Some of them are jumpers, and you don't know till you're really in there. And so I got a cup and I got a piece of paper, and I was like, I'm gonna catch and release that thing. I'm gonna catch and release that thing. That's what we're gonna do. We respect life around here. We're gonna catch and release that thing. And I got a cup and paper method. You know the cup and that paper method. You grab with the cup, slide the paper in, take it outside, boom, let that thing go. So I stood there with my robe and my gloves and my cup and my paper, and I was ready to get it. And I was like, I'm gonna catch you, I'm gonna release you. This is love, this is life, you know, this is fear, but also it's respect. So and I stood there, and I stood there for literally 10 minutes. I just watched the minutes on my clock change, and I was like, all right, well, it's 11:57, but 11:58, I'm going to catch that. I'm going to move at 11:50. Next thing you know, it's like 12:15, and I'm just sweating because I shouldn't be wearing a robe. It's too hot. It's too hot to have a robe on, and I haven't made a single move. And so then I just left my room because he started crawling, and he went to the ceiling and right above my bed. And so I did what you could do when there's a spider right above your bed. You take all the sheets off the bed and you go, I guess I sleep in the living room now. It's the only option. But I'm making my way, and I'm making my steps. And I did end up Googling just for a little second, natural remedies to kill spiders, just for a second. But I didn't do it. I backtracked off of that. I watched a video of this lady who got over her fear of spiders. And she became like a spider scientist. She was letting them crawl all over her fingers. She got real comfortable. And I was like, wow, maybe I could be like her. And it was about 10 minutes later when I went back in my room and saw that it left. It was in the kitchen. I grabbed all the sheets, ran back into the room, closed the door, put a towel under the door to keep the spider out. I used to do that to keep the smoke in. Things have changed. And I went to bed, and it only took an hour, and I just feel like that's progress. Thank
you. Keep them up, everybody. Woo!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Our guest today is originally from Paris, glamorous, and of French Algerian origins.
So cool. She's so cool.
She's so cool. She's been making a huge impression on the UK comedy scene, despite only starting her comedy career in 2017, including winning the Breaking Talent Award in 2019. Great. Please welcome to the stage and to the mic, the incredible Celia AB.
Hello, everyone. Hi, lovely to be here. I'll acknowledge the accent. I'm from Paris, as Deb said, but I moved to Birmingham on purpose. I've been in Birmingham for 7 years willingly. I'm fine, it's fine. Now, the reason I moved there is because on day one, I saw the funniest thing I've seen in my life. It was a really, really drunk guy singing Oasis, She's Electric, to a vending machine. At 11 a.m. So everything made sense. We're here to talk about therapy. I don't really get therapy. I like to substitute it for other things, cheaper things, let's say. I go swimming. Anybody here like swimming? Yeah, I love to swim. The reason I started swimming is because I've quit smoking cigarettes. I used to smoke tons, and then they said you have to replace it with something else. I'll be honest, swimming is good. It's not as good as smoking. It will never be as good as smoking. There's no such thing as a social swimmer. Right? After a couple pints, you're not at risk of doing a couple laps. Like, no one's worried. But it kind of got me thinking, because I've started going to this really fancy pool in central London, because my boyfriend works there and I get in for free. And it showed me something about the difference between men and women in terms of sport and how they approach exercise. So in the pool I go to, you've got slow lane, medium lane, fast lane. The other day I walk in and I see on the fast lane, not one, not two, but three of the oldest men alive. Like there's museums after them. They're like... And they're not swimming. They're not even... They're walking. In the pool, just having a lovely stroll. Just, how's Margaret? Just having a lovely, lovely little stroll. And on the other side, on the slow lane, is a tank of a woman who looks like she's fighting for the right to vote. She's like, every stroke is like, oh, come on, one more. We can do it. Now, there's no morals to that. The only thing I will say is we need to lie on our CVs a bit more. I think so, because three of the oldest men alive were in the fast lane, and I was judging them, as it should be. I think it's quite interesting, though, because I've been swimming, and I quite like it. I really, really do enjoy swimming. The reason I like it is because you get the endorphins after exercise. You guys know that. I'm not breaking up to you. But people tell you that you're addicted to exercise. Do you get those people who tell you they're addicted to running? Wankers? Just... like... You know those people. I just couldn't go a day without running. Yeah, you could. I've seen you go a day without running. Stop lying. Wasting my day here. I don't like them because they're liars, because what they're addicted to is the endorphins that you get afterwards. It's not the actual running bit. Do you know what I mean? It's like a heroin addict. They've got the decency to not go, I'm just getting really into spoons at the minute. Do you know what I mean? It's decency there. It's good for your mental health, though. It's really good for your mental health to work out. I think I'm quite an anxious person. Anyone else? Yeah, I'm quite an anxious person. I think it comes from how much I use my phone. I'm so addicted to my phone. And I think that social media is to blame. Because social media, if you go on Instagram, it's just beautiful people shouting, hey, by the way, I'm beautiful, at you all day. And I think it can't be healthy. With that in mind, we have to remember that it's not real, right? Social media is not real. You can get 100,000 likes on a post, and then you go out into the real world, and the old lady at the post office is really rude to you. And she's on OnlyFans. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's... It's not real. But I think that chips away at you, that sort of stuff. I think that we've done tons of work in terms of body confidence and body positivity, but I don't think we're quite there yet. Would you agree? Like, the other day, I was just minding my own business, just at a crossing, minding my own business, not asking for anyone's attention. And on the floor there, don't tell me to look right, actually. Like, what does that even mean? Like, can I have a day off? Like... I think we need to go back to the Renaissance. You know, those beautiful paintings of ladies just lying around naked, doing things that don't require to be naked in any way. You know those paintings? Beautiful naked women doing the laundry. Yeah, they should put a jumper on. you would be more comfy. So I've started this movement where I go to random museums in London and I knit half a jumper and I put it on all of these Renaissance paintings and I change it seasonally. So on the Mona Lisa, I might put a Hawaiian top around the summer. But I think that we need to go back to that because I think that showing your body grows your confidence. And I think that we need to work on that. So here's what I do. If I feel a bit down, I get one tit out and I do the washing up. It really... Honestly, it turns your day around. It really does. It really does. How often do you feel the breeze of London on one single nipple? Incredible. It feels incredible. You can see it age faster. It feels incredible. The reason I do stand-up is not because I want to get on the telly. It's not because I want to tour. It's because I've got this specific dream of mine, which is to one day attend Will.i.am's funeral. That's my specific dream. And the reason I want to attend Will.i.am's funeral is because I wrote this joke that only works at Will.i.am's funeral. It doesn't work anywhere else. So picture this. It's Will.i.am's funeral. Fergie's here. She's like, no, 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 no. And then the tall one here. You don't know his name. It's fine. Everyone in the Black Eyed Peas is like sad, but like in sync. And then they'd bring me on stage to raucous applause. They would go, we've got a very good treat for you. We've got the wonderful Celia AB. We can't believe we got her. They'll say that. And then everyone will go clap, clap, clap. And I'll go on stage and Will.i.am's there. And then I go... And then I go, thank you very much for having me at Will.i.am's gorgeous funeral. And may I say, Will, he was. And I will be very honest with you. Sometimes this joke does not work. But I will take it to mine and his grave. I am going to crowd surf on that casket. And on this note, I'm going to have to win you back. Thank you.
See you, baby, everybody. Celia AB.
Hello.
So good.
We very much enjoyed your stand-up comedy. You're new to The Guilty Feminist.
I am indeed. I've never heard of feminists.
You've never heard feminists?
No.
Let us induct you in our ways. Lock the doors. One of us. We're kidding. We know that you are a massive fizzing feminist. I nearly called you a therapist then because we're about to be talking about therapy.
Yes.
Can we bang down on the table? Because I feel like...
Can we bang down on the table?
Sorry.
What is happening?
Can we bang down on the table what our therapy experience is like? Just because I did a podcast a couple of years ago with Roisin Conaty, maybe about 3 years ago now, where I did stand-up about how my experience with therapists had been sort of risible. I'd done therapy twice, 6 weeks each. And the funny things that had happened during that and why I'd never done it again. And I mean, it was stand-up comedy. So, you know, sometimes you're reductive, you're hyperbolic, because if you over-explain everything, it's not funny. And also, truthfully, that had been my experience with therapy, but I got lots of emails from people going, no, don't put people off therapy, which I didn't think the episode did, but I could see how people might have thought that I did. And lots of therapists was like, no, you just didn't find the right therapist. So lockdown, I was like, okay, this is my opportunity.
Find your flow.
Yeah, well, I just thought, A, I've got time to find the right person because I'm trapped in my house. And B, like, I don't know, normally touring and running around. You know, like, I'm like, oh, yeah. But also everything became acceptable via Zoom.
Yeah.
So instead of having to schlep to somebody's house, which I hated, because they'd always make you wait outside.
Yeah.
I hated it. Standing outside in the rain, just waiting for somebody to let me in so they could judge me. I hated it.
And then you've got to go to the therapist.
Yeah. So the Zoom part really appealed to me. And I also figured I needed it more because I didn't really have my regular sources of people to talk to so much, because I'm just like hanging out with people. And does anyone want you to FaceTime them and go, I'm feeling down? Whereas if you go to the pub with someone, how have you been? Yeah, pretty good.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Yeah, hey, I'm great. Good enough to get dressed and come here. But let me tell you the truth.
Exactly. It comes out. With good friends, it sort of comes out where they go, oh, da-da-da-da-da, and then you end up having the chat. So my support network went away because also I didn't feel like messaging my friends like, I'm having a tough time. They're like, really? You know, like, and of course we could do that, and sometimes we did do that for each other, but it just wasn't the same. So I've had two therapists and a hypnotherapist in lockdown, not all at the same time. And I do think it has really, really worked. So all those people that emailed me 3 years ago to say I was wrong, you were right. I hope you're still listening and I didn't leave furious at that moment.
I think
so. That's my experience. Celia?
So I definitely need therapy. But I'm just going to keep going until I really need it. let's see how far this can go.
That's what I did. I regret it.
I think it's like, see, here's the bad problem with it. I know it's brilliant, and every friend of mine that does therapy, they like have a different attitude at parties afterwards. They're like people who get therapy are kind of smug, aren't they? They're like, oh, you haven't found happiness yet. I'm sorry, babes.
But you can feel better.
But I feel like
it's that kind of energy.
It's like people who do yoga. Oh, it's like I feel like there's like. So here's my thing. I know that it would make me feel happier, but I also know this: that when am I finished? Then, do you know what I mean?
Never.
Because like right now, I can puddle along, ignoring all this stuff. No, we're not gonna go there. Ignore that door, and just puddle along. But I feel like if I go to a therapist, it's like, do you know when you see those videos of shopping centers opening all at once?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like Black Friday vibes.
Yeah, and everything starts flooding in. I feel like the second someone asks me very honestly, how are you? I feel like it's
someone that wants to know.
Yeah, I feel like.
And it has to listen.
And it has to listen. I feel like we're going to be there forever. So.
Well, here's the news that I think I have for you now as a recent convert to therapy. And all recent converts are zealots. I wish I'd had therapy in my 20s so much, and I wish I had therapy in my 30s, because I feel like I would have reprogrammed, rehealed, repaired, and I would be much... I just feel like if I'd done it earlier, I would be some kind of powerhouse.
Yeah.
And I feel like now I'm like, oh...
I think I'm not getting therapy to stay humble.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, just chill.
But if I had my time over again, I would figure it out a lot earlier.
Yeah.
I just wish I had, because I think part of feminism... Okay, this is my latest theory on feminism.
Right. Okay, but also I have to bang out on the table.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Okay. Can I just take a note, because I don't want to forget it, and then because I think I've come up with the meaning of life here. And
I'm not banging the table and I feel very weird about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my experience with therapy. Sorry, you're French and me too. my experience, I think, I would say, is probably I had what the kids call a crisis, a breakdown. My brain exploded when I was in my junior year of college. It was great. I threw a burrito at my mom. So much fun. She was trying to make me eat, and I was like, I don't want it! Good stuff. And my mom's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, as has my grandma, but she's like, I just have anxiety. And she's like, sometimes I get nervous, whatever. I come from a long line of people who deal with mental health issues in different ways. And I had a breakdown. I ended up, bless you, girl. There was an adorable sneeze in the audience.
It wasn't that adorable.
It was really cute.
You're a feminist, but that was the cutest sneeze.
The cutest little sneeze.
That's like a little bunny sneezing.
1,000%. So good. It was a queef of a sneeze. Yeah, so basically I went to the mental hospital and my mom was like, I have a history with mental health, so I think this would be best. I was in the mental hospital, wasn't a great experience. Left there knowing that I would need some kind of help, but not what kind. Left there with a prescription for medicine that was way strong, but this is not the episode about mental health medication. Went to a therapist who was quite cool or whatever, but then I moved, didn't see her anymore. Then moved to California, found a judgmental therapist that made me feel like she was a judgmental gynecologist. It was insane. I was like, I smoke weed, and she was like, well, that's what's wrong with you. And I needed to realize that in my own time. I was like, but don't make me feel bad about something that I'm clearly going to do every day. I was like, ma'am, be gentle with me. So saw that person. Didn't have any mental health care for a while. Was about to move out here. Got a bit spooked. Got some new medication. Love that. Great. And then I think with my understanding that I was dealing with a mental health condition, not knowing how to navigate it and what was the best way to navigate it, it got to a point where I just felt like I did want to feel better.
Yeah.
So I did a round of NHS CBT. Shout out to the NHS. Shout out to Gemma.
Does CBT work?
Well, what I wanted to figure out was if I'm having highs and lows, if you make it very simple, it's the very basic language about bipolar disorder. If I'm having periods of high and low, how do I know when I'm approaching them? Because the thing is, you can kind of, there are signs, there are triggers, and there are things like that. So you can kind of get ahead of it, and it might not be so high or so low. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my aim. And so we just spent some time looking into that. And whether that's what CBT is or not, I have no fucking idea. So that was that time with Gemma. And then fast forward to the person I'm currently seeing and have been seeing. And we have a good time. She's a nice lady. Yeah.
And has she helped you understand any patterns, anything from your childhood, filled in any missing pieces?
We dig into childhood bits. And basically, I'll come and she'll be like, how do you want to spend the session? And I'll be like, work is stressing me out, man. Or I'll be like, romance is a mistake. I just love it. We cover the whole shebang, you know? Like, right now, she's helping me prepare to go home. And the fact that it will be hard, but it could also be nourishing. And I was like, wow, thanks, P. yeah. But I know, like, you were in, like, a cult at some point in your, like, childhood. And that has to have done some shit. Like,
especially, I imagine, with trust, even trusting a therapist must be difficult.
That's interesting. I don't know. Well, the one that I have now I really like. I had a one that was really good for a while but wasn't the right fit for me. It was just things like, I don't know, you know when someone uses certain language? I worry that she might listen to this. I don't think she'd ever listened to the podcast.
Well,
it's fine. No, she
fuck it. She's a professional.
Yeah, she didn't
Who's
listen.
Who's she going to tell? She probably signs up for him. She can't tell nobody.
That is true. That is true. We do have patient confidentiality that only goes one way.
Ethics, motherfucker.
So, yeah. No. She was great, but she just sort of like, I don't think she literally did this, but it was like, to sum it up in one example, she called me Debbie instead of Deborah.
Ew.
You know, she didn't, but that tells you what else she did. Do you know what I mean? Like, she never did that, but it was that kind of thing. Oh, I know. She used to call my mother Mum.
Ew.
You know, when somebody says, and how would Mum feel about that? Mm. And I'd be like, I don't know. Well, I don't know your mum. Mm. Like,
yeah.
And that's
the concept of mom.
Yeah, like, and when someone says mom, I think they're talking about their mom, and I've just never liked that when other people have done
that. That's awful.
And I just like, you know, would you know, well, what did dad say? You know, like, well, okay, if you're talking about my father, he died some years ago, so he didn't say anything, but are you talking about in my childhood, what did your father say? I just found it so, And it was just, like, she had some great insights, to be fair. But I didn't really look forward to the sessions. And yeah. I think it was just not the right chemistry. She was great. And I'm sure there were some people who would think she was incredible. And want the personalization of someone saying, mum, because then that'll evoke. But I don't call my mum, mum. I call my mum, mother. Yeah. So that doesn't, which tells you a lot about why I need therapy. But I... It doesn't. That was perfectly lovely. But I decided to see an American hypnotherapist, a New Yorker, because I thought it's on Zoom. It doesn't matter whether they're in Camden or, you know.
The right one might be in Spain.
The right one is always in New York because that is the home of therapy.
Yeah, that's where it was invented.
Well, that's what I figured. I figured I want one of those Woody Allen therapists. Do you know what I mean? Not Woody Allen, just let's take him out of it. But I don't want Woody Allen's therapist because he shouldn't be doing the patient confidentiality. But you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I found somebody who I really relate to, I really connect to, but she's really good at helping me see the patterns. And she just lets me do whatever I want in the session. So if I'm feeling really good, we can talk about that. If I'm,
but how do you not like fall in love with them?
Because
I see someone that's like makes me feel better and they listen and I'm lying down. and then maybe pat me on the head.
I've never lied down.
I don't think they do that.
Don't they not do that?
No. Not lying down.
Are you imagining doing this therapy naked?
I'm imagining Deborah.
The couch.
I couldn't possibly say. I think my ideal therapist is a little puppy.
My jeans are just all in my fucking vagina.
My ideal
See, if you
therapist,
do that at therapy, you are really, you know, crossing a line because that's what they call transference.
I love that
Not
show.
Not the jeans in the vagina, the
no.
love
one. Transference is when you fall in love with your therapist for these exact reasons. Mm. And counter-transference is when they feel the same way.
Oh, they would. We would bang on the table.
Yeah, you gotta bang on the table.
I think it's quite interesting, though, with therapists, because I think that my mother works in she doesn't anymore. She used to work in a mental health institution in France. Mm. And she used to work very long hours. And I think that seeing how tired therapists are,
yeah.
Because obviously they work. That's what if I was to get a therapist, I would want all the attention. So I would say, I don't want you to see anyone else before or after me. And if I saw someone come out, I would go, who is she, actually?
Yeah, what is you, that?
And why is Deborah Frances White here? Yeah.
I feel like you may really need therapy.
I am.
If you are not prepared.
But we're not going there, baby. We're keeping it all in until I'm 30.
It's gonna be so fun.
When I'm 30, I'm going to have a different walk. That's my vibe.
Walk?
I'm going to have it. This is my plan. Hit 30, retire.
Yep.
Have a different walk. When I'm 38, get inexplicably really fit.
Yeah.
Like, get abs.
Ooh, do you know and what I mean? Like, late adult onset athleticism.
Yeah.
I still believe I'm going to have that.
Yeah, same.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One day.
And then just like, get to 40, write a novel.
Yep.
Novel gets made into a film.
Naturally.
I play the part.
Of course.
And then I get therapy.
After the film.
That's the one.
Plan. My theory on why this is a great plan, but also why when you do get to therapy, which I know that you will, and a lot of stand-up comics like use comedy as therapy. They talk to the audience pay them. Like But the reason I am happy I've done therapy anyway, no, I shouldn't comment on what anyone else should do. The reason I'm happy I got therapy is I think over the last however many years, through various things, finding my biological mother, like doing lots of different, it feels like I'm putting different pieces of the jigsaw into me. And even when they're scary things, even when they don't go to plan, it still feels better to be whole and have that bit of jigsaw in me. And what I'm thinking is, this is my new theory, this is the thing I jotted down so I didn't forget it because I thought I might have accidentally come up with the meaning of life, is I think that this is my guess about the next phase for feminism and sort of almost what feminism really is, has always been sort of grasping to do, is that feminism is ultimately about women being able to be human.
Yeah.
It's what I say about why Fleabag was so popular. Is I think Fleabag was very popular because she was unapologetically feminine or female or woman. She wasn't like, like a woman who, on the TV is like, you know, she's like, she's a man. Like,
I'm blokey.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't.
That's why I do this stuff is because I am.
Yeah. She wasn't presenting.
It's not. I'm not the other girls.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. She was absolutely woman. And, but what she revealed to us was the hungry, libidinous, lonely, lazy, frightened, joyful, naughty human being deep down inside every woman. Inside every woman, there is a human. And that is often masked by womanhood because the judgment, the performance of femininity or the rejection of femininity, which are only two options, are both exhausting. So you can either perform or you can reject, but both of them, and you always have to prove, no, but I can even though, or, but that's not because I'm a woman, or da 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 da. So all of that noise, and then any other intersections of identity that are projected upon you as luggage to carry. So blackness, brownness, gender fluidity, sexual orientation other than heterosexuality, disability, all of those things are things for other people to get past and for you to kind of go, no, but... Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And sometimes we spend so much time in our identity, defending our identity, being proud of our identity, that we forget inside here is the lizard brain as well. It wants to fight and fuck or, you know, just eat or sleep.
Love sleep. Oh, sleep is so fucking good.
And so that's why I ultimately think I'm happy I had therapy and it's helped my feminism, because the more pieces of the jigsaw I fill in, the more human
you can be, a full person.
I feel,
you don't have to be excellent or extraordinary in order to fight the patriarchy. Sometimes fighting the patriarchy is fucking existing and enjoying that.
I think we don't have to always be a voice for something. That's one thing, is resting as well. Do you know what I mean? I think that when you're a woman, especially if you do comedy or anything related to even being in front of a room of people, you feel a responsibility to say things and have opinions. But sometimes you just want to have a hot chocolate.
And you said they wouldn't learn anything. See you later, everybody! You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Amber Frances White, guest co-host Kim O'Bowman, and our very special guest, Cedar AP. The recording engineer was Grundy Lissimbro, music was by Mark Hodge, the producer was Tom Solinsky from the Spotted Data Shop. Thanks to Zoe, Sally, and everyone at King's Places, from us all, and you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes for TheGuiltyFeminist.com. Tough 2 years. So while we will still be bringing you cutting-edge issues and extremely brilliant activists and organisations that you can get behind and involved in, sometimes we're just going to be bringing you the hardcore ruffles. Now, we just feel like we need it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Just sometimes. So this show, if you have come here to learn...
Too damn bad.
Yeah. I'm not promising a lot of learning. No, I'm not saying you won't learn anything, but if you've come to really, like, you know...
I'm saying that.
Yeah.
I'm what undermines them. Oh, this poor woman, she's going through so much today.
Oh, God. The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.